the south. This is our story. Sing it together. Come on.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy. The chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. But you called me a citizen of heaven. When I was born.
Welcome, brave souls that made it through this treacherous snow.
Some people are like, this is nothing. Some people are like,
you guys
gosh.
Picked an awesome day for a baptism, so welcome. Welcome to our little tiny church.
We use snow to melt.
This is one out of 330,000 churches in the United States. You guys are lucky to be here this morning with us.
That's right.
Aren't you guys blessed? Anyway, so you guys got to stand up and sing loud this morning because, you know, I know we changed the time. And I think everybody kind of messed up, so I don't know.
Can everybody lean this way?
Yeah, lean. Yeah, let's do a Billy Ray Cyrus concert. Yeah, come forward so we can pretend we're people in our church. No, just kidding. Broken lives are made new.
have your way.
To rest.
rescue me from danger. Interposed His precious darkness till you came and rescued me. I was found by all my sin when your love came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be alone. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never. Till you came and rescued me. I was bound by all my sin when your love came and set me free. Sing it out. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be alone. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be alone. Lost are saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every your great name, the enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, Son of God. Receive grace at the sound.
You are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God, Emmanuel, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God, Emmanuel, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great day. Your great day. Your great day.
All righty, this time let us honor God by receiving God's tithe and our offerings. Lord, we come to you today and we just thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. And so, Lord, as we, for those of us who are here or online or wherever we may be today, and may hear this later this week, we just thank you for just to be able to come together and connect with you and your spirit. Where two or three are gathered, and by the power of technology, we know we have others that are gathered with us today. And so, God, just send your spirit to each of us. We are so blessed, and we just want to be a blessing to so many others. I thank you for the tither and the giver, and for everyone who just calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us just worship you all the more in your name. You are our Savior and Messiah. Amen.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Redeemer,
may be seated. As this time, our children, I think there's some Sunday school, right? Is there any? If not, enjoy here. We'll figure it out. But most of all, say hello to the people around you, because some of you are sitting in places you never do, so you can say things to people you never see. It's officially winter. Hey, how many shoveled out something? How many were like me and were like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot I didn't get the snowblower ready. Anybody there? At this time, what we're going to do, before we have our prayer time, we're going to have a baptism. And they came all the way from Virginia Beach for this, right? So we weren't going to cancel them. But we're going to go ahead and have a baptism. So I'm going to ask Debbie to come up and join me, if you will. And Debbie, here you go. There you go. And we are also going to ask the parents of Mason McCullough, right? And any godparents? Got a couple of them? Oh, you got a baby. You got a wiggly baby. So you guys can stand right here, and right across here, we'll get a good look at you. All this good stuff. Yeah. That's why we put you in the dark, Jake. Okay, so. All right, she'll just fan out a little bit here so that some people can get a good look at the baby. That's the one they want to see. Right, dude? Right? Okay. All right. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we personally and together acknowledge the saving grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. The saving grace, which we call salvation, is God's free gift. It is offered to us without a price. It is free. How many like free things? Okay, you should love Christianity, all right? It's free, but it costs Christ something very special, his life. So through baptism, we are identified with Christ into his church and incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation. The water symbolizes washing and cleansing, for in Christ we are made pure from sin. The water serves as a sign, as was circumcision in the Old Testament, of entering into a covenant of faith. And children are a gift of God. And in Psalm 127, it proclaims that sons are a heritage from the Lord and children are a reward from him. I've often joked and said you need to remember that when they're teenagers, right, parents? Okay? They are God's gift. As believers, we are called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God, and God in his goodness gives them to us as gifts to parents. They not only have the awesome responsibility, parents, of taking care of this gift, but also the wonderful privilege of enjoying the gift. Because children belong to God and are given by grace as gifts to parents, it is proper that we go ahead and we dedicate them back to the Lord. Debbie?
We are told in 1 Samuel 1 that Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. In Luke 2:22, we read that Mary and Joseph brought their baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present him before the Lord. In the same way, today, Jordan and Wesley, bring today their son, Mason McCullough, and godparents Jake and Kate Allen, present themselves first and ultimately Mason before the Lord our God. We are here today to recognize as the body of Christ, Mason being brought by his mother and father and family to be baptized. As the family of God, we recognize God's love that's already at work in his life. We pray for the day when Mason will mature and respond to the saving grace of God, accepting Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, and pledging himself to a life of faithful discipleship.
All right, bow with me for a blessing over the water. Father, look down upon your church and unseal for us the fountain of baptism. We pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you bless this gift of water. Bless Mason who receives it, so that in this sacrament of baptism, your Holy Spirit will protect and guide him in his whole journey with you together. All right, so I ask the parents here, Jordan and Wesley, right, and Jake and Kate in the dark over there, as members of the covenant community of God through your own confession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Will you nurture Mason in Christ's holy church that by your teaching example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and lead to a Christian life? If you do so, say we will. All right. Debbie.
To the Covenant Community of Faith gathered here, will you surround Mason before you with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his trust of God?
Okay. All right. Come here, Mason. Come here, buddy. Look, I want to show you something. Come here. We're going to have some fun. Look. Look at this. You want to play in the water here? Look at that. You want to put your hand in there? Want to touch it? Go ahead. He's like, you weirdo. Okay. So, Mason, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What do you think? Hey, you ready? Ready for this, Mason? Mason, here we go. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey. What do you think? You want to go for a walk real quick? Come on, let's go for a walk. Look, do you know anybody here? Want to say hi? Wave to them. Can you wave to them? Wave to them. Go ahead. Say hi. They're waving at you. Look at that. See, they're all looking at me. I know I got to look at it every week. So wave to them. Say hi. There you go, bud. There you go. See him right here? He's real good. He's like, why am I soaking wet? What do you think? Huh? What do you think? Say hi to him all. Is he like this all the time? No. Oh, my gosh. I was going to say, you're like, this is like the greatest baby ever. Like, not you. There you go. All right, look at her. She's busy. All right, so, guys, as part of this today, as recognition, we want to give this. There you go, Mom. And then, Dad, I'll give you this. This is a certificate that you have here. And we want to thank you. We know that that you guys, that you were here, and then you got married and moved down to Virginia Beach. So now we're all going to come visit you. because that's a great place to visit, great beach. But we just really are thankful that we were able to do part of this. And did they get your binky? All right, okay, that's the important. So let's welcome them back in, all right? Sorry about all my typos. At this time, we have a couple announcements and things. Just want to announce that it has snowed. Okay, so I just wanted to let you know that. No, we are glad that that you are here in church or part of online church. Everybody say hello to those online church. All right. Hopefully, you're keeping warm and safe out there. As in, I know some areas, it's a little treacherous, so definitely be careful. We have a couple of announcements. Number one, welcome to all our visitors. We hope that... that you're having a good time here today. And if you want, you can connect by filling out a card, and we have a small gift for you. Thank you for being part of our worship here, today. And so we just want you to relax, and we'll have a good time. All right? And after church, snowball fight. All right. A couple of things. The Paris Foundation, you can see we have sign up for that. Our next one is January 20th. And also, I know it was mentioned last week, continue to lift the Berdinka family, Mike Berdinka, in the loss of his mother as she passed away. You can see some of the other announcements that are here in here. Youth group will not be meeting today after church. The emergency rotating shelter, you can see the dates for that, and we need sign-ups and other kinds of things, correct, on March 11th. Wesley United Methodist Church is doing that, but we're helping them out. So if you want to connect there and do that. Also, you can see the Women's Sunday Morning Bible Study. You can see the information about that. Love to have you as many there. You have an insert for Grief Share. And you can have, this is for the loss, they're targeting for the loss of a spouse. And you can see that will begin January 20th. We've had several who have participated in Grief Share, and it's been a really, really good, really great way to deal with grief and connect with others. Other important things, the 2018 tax letters are available for donations. They're out here, correct, Jim? They're out here if you want to check and get those. And then there's a women's group that meets Tuesday evening, 6:30. So, men, you need to step it up. The women are going to be a lot holier than us, so we got to get rolling. But we want to go ahead and touch on those, all right? For prayer concerns, Donna is asking for prayers for all who lost loved ones. And Jen lifted up close friend's son who passed away last week, and he was 26. Today we will celebrate Jordan Cole, Natalie's and then Rachel and Tommy's son-in-law, who passed away after a battle with lymphoma. And so he battled hard, set some milestones, and made many of them. And he went on to be with the Lord at the beginning of this year. Also, the lady, last time I was with you, Carolyn Garwood, also passed away on New Year's Eve. And so I had the funeral yesterday. So a lot of things. It seems like there's a lot of loss right now this time of year for many people. Continue to be with all those people who are experiencing loss. All right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to lift up before you this service today. God, just be with us for the remainder of our time that we have. We want to lift up what seems like a lot of loss from people who we're associated with, or people who are part of our church, or just loved ones that we are connected to. God, we thank you that that you tell us that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. We thank you for the fruitful lives, the fruit-filled lives of these many people who we've just lifted up today who have passed away. For us here, God, give us traveling mercies as we travel around today. For those who are traveling to memorial services in other areas where they have to be out, God, just send your angels to be upon them. And let us just bask in your presence here for those who are in church online and for those of us here. Father, make us one that we may be for the world one in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name. May we honor him in this year. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Scripture this morning is from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was made with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
All right, welcome. This is the first week of our new series called The Word Written. Everybody say the word. Word. Look at the person next to you and go, good. Word. All right, there you go. All right, I don't know why I wanted you to do that. I just thought it cool. All right, so we want to welcome you all here again. We're glad that everyone is here and present with us and connecting online and everywhere else that you may see this later this week. This is a new series that I wanted to start this week. I believe that a couple weeks ago, at the last week of the year, anybody make a New Year's resolution this year? I know Debbie talked a little bit, touched on some of that too, and gave us some of those great, weird New Year's resolutions last week. But the New Year's resolutions or whatever, there tends to be this, okay, a do-over kind of thing at the beginning of the new year. And I believe that this could be the best year of your life if it is the best spiritual year of your life as well, if you're connected to God. Yes, again, in a few weeks, we will launch once again 14 days of prayer and fasting. Remember that from last year? We're going to do that again and reconnect and help get us focused on God. And how many of you remember that from last year? Okay, it's a great opportunity for us to connect. And so we're going to do that. And prayer is awesome because prayer is us talking to God, correct? When we pray, we talk to God. But I believe if I had to do one thing,
one thing at all, it would be to read and get into God's word, because from God's word, I hear from God, you know. And anybody been in a relationship with anybody who does all the talking? And you can't get a word in edgewise, and you can't. So a lot of times, that, you know, may be how God feels if we're just praying and not getting to the word. So I want to take you to the verse that Rachel just read for us. And it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word. Isn't that interesting? God calls himself the what? The word. Calls himself the word. So God is the Bible. The Bible is God. That it's actually the spoken word and the written word. That is God. Matter of fact, it's so holy that people won't even say the name of God in Orthodox Judaism. And so if you want to know about God, what do you have to do? Read the Bible, because you get to read about God. Isn't that cool? Isn't that simple? So you get to know about God by reading his word, because the word is, and God is. There you go. Awesome. You guys are good. All right. So Jesus even kicked that up a notch where he said, it says, the word became flesh. And aren't you glad for that? That God became flesh to give us the example and to give us a way back to the Father. And so without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. And so it's really kind of cool. I've been a pastor for probably, I'm getting ready, or I'm somewhere near 23 years in that. I started when I was 5. And, okay. You know, I remember I've had a lot of years, and I've done a lot of Bible studies. And one of the greatest aspects of this is when I've done certain Bible studies, and historically it was the Disciple Bible Study, which had people that started, and they got in really into the Word of God and began to read the Word of God, and people began to get these aha moments. I remember this one time we had done an Alpha program in the church, and in the Alpha program, there was someone who had been coming, and after several weeks, we did this this one weekend day. It was a Saturday, and I remember in the discussion, the person came up to me, and not in very churchy language, which was awesome. It wasn't churchy language. Came up to me, and they were like, "I got it." I'm like, "What?" Like, God and Jesus, and they're this, and that's what he came and did, and they were telling me this, and I'm like, yeah, and they're like, it was very cool how they got that. I also had somebody one time, she was a young woman who wanted to have a child so badly. She wanted to have a child, and for one reason or another, it didn't happen. She sat in this Bible study, and as we began to read through the Old Testament, just to let you know, if you've not been into it, there's a lot of women in the Old Testament who can't have children and really wanted to have children. And like it was like every week for a while, she's like, oh my gosh, I never knew this. I never knew this happened. Well, what was really cool is by the end of that Bible study, she was pregnant and going to have a child. And guess what? She had another one later, and now they're grown. And she was like, wow, the Bible came to life for her. She was another person in there. And I saw that wow moment when people really got in to the Bible and had a love for the scripture, for love of God. I remember when I was a little kid, I had two Bibles that were my favorite. One was that little green Gideon. Anybody have that little green Gideon's Bible? That was a New Testament and a Psalm. And I had that little thing tucked with me and carried it there. And another one was, they used to give it to us in third grade, called the Living Bible. Anybody remember those? The Living Bible, and we had that. And I even wrote my name on the outside of it, and you know, like better than I write now probably. But it was there, and I had that thing with me, and I carried it everywhere. And then they came out with I got another Bible, and it was gold. And it was called Good News for Modern Man. Anybody remember those back in the day? And then, so I've had certain times in my life where the Bible was just special. And I remember when, in the days before we had cell phones everywhere, where I had the electronic Bible. And you could put a cartridge in. Anybody have one of those? And you can make people think you're really smart. And they say, where's this? And you're like, And you'd be like typing underneath and go, I believe that's in John, and the 7th chapter. And like, you're smart. Yes, I am, you know. And you would do those kind of things, and then he found out you're a liar too. But my hope in this series is that you will recapture, if you don't already have it, an incredible love and desire for God and his word more than ever before. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus said this. He said, the Spirit gives life, and the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are what? spirit, and they are life. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. Spirit is an English made-up word because they couldn't find something that fit there. That term spirit is actually pneuma. It's where we get our term pneumonia. And it actually, the best meaning of it is breath. So it would actually say, the words I have spoken to you are breath and they are life. Doesn't that seem a little weird? Doesn't it take a little bit of power away from the scripture and what we had? So they had no words, so they came up, they said spirit, meaning that it is actually the breath of God. The breath of God is actually what Jesus is saying. And it says, and they are life. Where does the life come from? It's not that they're just empty words. They have power and influence and authority with them. So Jesus says, what I'm saying to you, I will fulfill. Look what it says here. For the word of God is living and active. In other words, God is just not saying something. When we read up in the scripture, and we open something, and he says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future. That's not just idle words from God. That has power and influence in the midst of that. The Bible is alive and active. It is a double-edged sword. You see, with this breath, it's like if you had a pet, and the pet has breath, and it can do tricks, right? But if it has no breath, you have something on your mantle, right? You know what I mean? You have nothing. You have something dead. It's not good. Nothing that has passed on is living and active. And so the word of God is that. Judah has a great joke. He tells me this. He says, why can't dinosaurs clap their hands? Why, Judah?
Because they're dead.
Right? Why can't dinosaurs clap their hands? Because they're dead. Makes sense, doesn't it? I've not seen a dinosaur clap his hand. Don't give me that Barney thing. I hate it, okay? So, super de duper, okay? Don't do that. Because nothing that does not have breath and life can be active. And he says, that's not what these words are. That's not what the Bible is. That's not what the scripture is. He says, it's a double-edged sword. So not only is it living and active, but it will also do surgery on you. In other words, this is a very biblical, churchy kind of way of saying that that it's going to penetrate and divide between the soul and the spirit, that the Bible is going to get all up in your stuff if you really start to look at it. Anybody ever read something in the Bible and you're like, oh, really, God? Like, what if it says, forgive 70 times 7? You're like, oh, I lost count. Can I just go back to that 7 times? God, do I have to do that? The Bible will get up and mess with you. And so what I want to do in this time is I want to challenge you to get the Bible alive and get excited about it. That when it comes time where it's time for the scripture lesson, that somebody in the back goes, woo, here we go. Give us some word. Right? You freak visitors out, wouldn't you, with that? It'd be awesome. It'd be like, what? What are they saying? All right. Get really excited about that. Last week, I got the opportunity to go to the football game in Chicago where the Eagles somehow won. And I was able to get out of the Soldier Field alive. But anyway, it was a neat experience. But there was this really odd experience. They have this guy who sings really well, in an operatic voice, the national anthem. And when he started singing, he was like, oh, say. And everybody started going, cheering during the national anthem. Now, people from Baltimore used to, oh, but it was the whole time. And they're cheering this guy. And this guy's just belting more. And I'm like, wow, wouldn't it be cool if we said, and now time for the reading from John. And you started going, yeah, woo. I see you're still asleep, all right? So that would be awesome. That would be so awesome. I'm going to test you out and see if you do it next week, all right? So I really want people to really get into the Bible. But the problem is many of us find the scripture so mundane, and some of us find it boring. And so there's two things I want to do in the rest of our time together. I'm going to do briefly, I'm going to talk some theological stuff to set up the series, and then I'm going to give you some practical steps. okay? Because I can give you theology all day, but if I don't give you practical steps, what I'm saying is useless, okay? So at least that's how I feel. So here we go. So if the Bible gets all up in your stuff, it will affect your attitude or your emotions. It has the power to change your relationships and all kinds of things. So I want you, if you're taking notes with me today, I want you to take some notes with me today. Here we go. All right, so the first thing that we want to look at is for the Bible to come alive. Number one, I need to recognize that I need to have faith activate the word. I need to recognize that faith activates the word. So what is faith? Faith is believing in God, and it's believing that as I look through the pages, the words I see are real, and they affect me, and that through God's breath, what he says takes something natural and makes it supernatural. It's being sure what I hope for. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 4. It says, "For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did." And so here we have this situation that the writer of Hebrews is writing this, and he says, "But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with something." What did they not combine it with? Faith. So I've had people come up to me time and time again and say, "I've read the Bible cover to cover, and it just does nothing for me." Well, that's because you're not combining it with faith. You can read, if you want the Bible to be just words, it's going to just be words, if that's where you are. You need to combine it with faith, because faith activates the power of the Word of God. And so, if you're just reading without faith, it won't work. Faith takes that natural, makes it supernatural. And somebody say, "Okay, Jack, now you made this worse, because my problem is, I have a little amount of faith, if any faith, as well. I have just a little bit." Well, here we go. That's okay, because here we go. Let me look at this. So if faith activates the word, then what activates faith? No? Good. But revelation. Everybody say revelation. Not that book in the back that nobody understands. We're talking about revelation. And what is revelation? If you want faith to come alive, to believe what you are reading, you need revelation. Here's what revelation is. Aha! Wow, no way. You got to be kidding me. Like that girl who sat that there and wanted to have a child all that time, thought she was the only person on the planet that was struggling with that. And then she's reading in the scripture about how God supernaturally does that. And she said, "Wait a second." I remember sitting across the table. "Wait a second. You mean this Bible has all these people who couldn't have children? Are you serious?" So, and God intervened? "Yeah." She goes, "Will he do that for me?" I said, "He says, ask and it will be given. See what happens. Have faith." And it activated her faith to a point where God did something incredible. And so that when she reads that about Samuel's mother, Hannah, it's not just words and the story of a person. It's something that came alive to her because she had aha moments. I remember one time, I've read through the book of Acts a billion times. I was doing a Bible study one time, and it was about the Apostle Peter was standing up and he's preaching that great message and he's saying all this stuff, and as he's talking more and more and more, he throws in this whole section and says, "You came to see David's tomb here today," and he's talking about King David. I'm like, what is that about? And it hit me. Boom! Aha! In Israel, right where the upper room is, where Peter was giving the sermon, right downstairs around the corner is the spot that they have, which is recognition of David's tomb. He was talking to Jewish believers who were in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, and so he was able to share Jewish history that they understood and tell them, "This is what the prophet Joel said, that I will pour out my spirit on all people." And I was like, wow. Now, for you, that may not be cool. For me at that moment, it was like, woo, yes, go Bible, right? And I could connect to that. Connect to that. I remember when I was in seminary, I was taking Greek exegesis. That's not exegesis. It's Greek exegesis, where you got in and you understood Greek a little bit more. I'd already taken a Greek class. And we began to read the story of Jesus healing the man, a man who was born blind. And how the man who was born lame man, and how he went and people were saying, "Is this him?" And he went to his parents. Is this him? He went to others. Is this him? And he kept saying, and every time they'd ask him, he'd say, yes, it's him, but how he's no longer, blind. He's no longer blind. We don't know. It is our, even his parents threw him under the bus, said, it's our kid. He was born blind. Now he can see. We don't know. And the man kept saying, all I know is I was blind. Jesus made some mud pies, put in my eyes, and now I see. He said, do you want to follow him too? And that ticked them all off. They put him out of the synagogue. Now, for us, we say, oh, they just sent him out of the synagogue. He can go down the road. Oh, no. In Jewish history at that point, the synagogue was how you did business. It's how you made connections. If you were put out of that, your whole entire life was ostracized. A man, because he was healed by Jesus, his whole life was ostracized. And guess what? He did not care because he was healed. And in the Greek language, when I read that, I sat in the middle of a class and started to cry. I've cried in classes before, but that's because my grades were so bad. I cried this time because I had a revelation from God about the pain that this man went through, but he considered it all lost for the sake of being healed by Jesus. I'm sure some of you may have had some of the same. So it is the Eureka. I challenge you this week to read one verse. Read it over and over again. You may read it, and at one point you go, wow, there it is. You know, there are two words for the word in the Bible. There's one that we know. It's called logos right here, and it means the written word. It's the written word. So many of us have this, only get this approach to our Bibles. It's the written word of God. It's given to us, and that's where we get to when we read the Bible. We hear the message, and we love it or not. Some person may say, yeah, it was a good message today. I don't know. I didn't get it. All right? Wasn't my favorite. Okay, something like that. So what's the difference? It's the understanding that's there. And that's where we get the second word. And some of you may have heard it. Some of you may have never heard it. It's called Rhema. Rhema is revealed. It is that revealed word of God. It is the aha moment that we have. And I want to show, I want to give you an example of this. And since our brains are still kind of in the last part of the year, I'm going to give you a story that's very familiar. It's about a lady named Mary. You remember her? She was a young girl. She was called to be the mother of Jesus, and she had this angel that appeared to her, and she was told that she was to conceive by the Holy Spirit. So she says, hey, guess what? The Most High God will come upon you, and then you will have a child. And Mary asks this question and says, I got a question. Here we are. How will this be? Now, if God asked me a question that was impossible in this world, I would ask the same question, wouldn't you? If God asked you the impossible, how will this be since I am a virgin? The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This is impossible. She asks how, and then he says this, the Son of God, for no word, everybody say no word. And here's what's cool here. The word for word here is Rhema. So no revelation, let me say it that way. Nothing that is revealed, no revelation. No revelation. No Rhema, from God will ever fail. And at that moment, Mary said, boom, I got it. And look at what she said. I am the Lord's servant. May your revelation be to me, and may it be fulfilled, just as you said. That moment she went from, no, I'm sorry, I attended biology, I know this doesn't work this way, to saying, boom, all right, revelation, God can, so let it be to me as you can. And we know the rest is history, am I right? It's amazing when we get that revelation from God. We get that. No scripture. Isn't that nice to know that no scripture that you ever read, no word from the Word of God is ever just logos, but it's also rhema. That it has power, it has influence, it has authority, and it can because it flows from the mouth of God. I don't know if that excites you. Makes me pretty excited because there's a lot of good stuff in there, all right? So we have that. Mary's Rhema aha moment. Her response was, I am the Lord's servant. So how can the Bible come alive? How can it come alive? You know, it with faith, but how does faith come alive? Through revelation. Okay, Jack, well, how does revelation come alive? Here we go. Through meditation. Meditation. Everybody say meditation. And I'm not saying that you sit on a mountaintop and go, oh, right? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Meditation is activates revelation. It takes time to slow the mind. Has anybody ever tried to just like be still and your mind is, or sometimes you just go to pray and you can't get your mind still at times? So we need this intentionally. There's some intentional things that I want to do to kind of help us live our faith better this year. Not just things that, like, that's a good message, but I want us to really grab stuff and apply it a lot more this year. So I'll tell you, I'm going to give you a hint. I've already got a February series that I'm excited about. First time I've ever talked about it. It's the Song of Solomon. I'm going to give a sermon series on the Song of Solomon because there's some awesome relationship there. And it'll be PG-13. It's okay. PG-13. Some of them, you may want to keep them out a little bit less on one or two of those weeks. But the main thing is, the main thing I want to tell you is there is power. And if there's anything that's a little warped that Satan likes to attack, is our relationships, whether our friendships or they are our marriage relationships. So I want to give you something to help our marriage relationships and something that can help me in the Song of Solomon or Song of Songs. And it is the Word of God revealed for us so that we can think about it and meditate it. Now, the word meditate, let's look at this verse from Joshua. Joshua says this, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your what? Your mouth. But meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." Meditate, the word for meditate here, the Hebrews always had like very visual words. And so theirs is kind of like this. And the word meditate actually is very similar to like when a cow chews its cud. You know what I'm talking about there? Where a cow, they put something in their mouth and they go. And then they go, boom. But they're not done. What do? Blah. They throw it back up and they go, mm, 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 no. Put your hand down, Judah. All right. So, and then when they've taken every nutrient out of it they can, they finally swallow it completely and work on the next one. Many of us, I don't know if you're like me, sometimes you'll do like a Bible plan and you're like, I got 5 minutes this morning. Oh my gosh, I'm like, the Lord is my shepherd, and I want to. I survived, got it in today. Let's move on. When what God wants us to do is, the Lord is my shepherd. All right, shepherd. I shall not want, he may, well, shepherd. To really chew on the Word of God. There is no mistake that Jesus said he's the bread of life, and this is the bread of life, that we can eat on the Word of God. You know, chew on it, then you'll be prosperous and successful. Isn't that what it says? Anybody want to be prosperous and successful this year? Okay, that's in the Word of God right there. What do you have to do? You just got to start taking out the Scripture and going, right? Start chewing on some Word of God. All right, that was worth coming out in the snow today, wasn't it? So how do we build our lives on God's Word and make the Bible make sense? Okay, look at Matthew chapter 7, and this is today's theme verse. And it's a paraphrase from the Message version, and a paraphrase is pretty much when you take a translation and you put it in some more understandable words. And here's what it says. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. In other words, these are not just to go ahead and add the words of God to your way that you want to live your life and tack it in. No, they are, ready for this? Foundational words, and they are words to build a life on. The Word of God is to be the foundation. One of the coolest things, if I started ripping up carpet here, you would see words of Scripture on here, because before we ever did any kind of worship in this church, we took markers and we wrote on the ground and said, the foundation of this church will be the Word of God. And so every week when we come together, our foundation, a symbol physically of what we believe, is there. So we need to believe that for us individually, because the whole is only as strong as the sum of its parts, as I remember mathematics. Did I do well, Terry? Okay, good. All right, so here we go. We need words to build our life on. And here's the promise. If, everybody say if you work these into your life, You are like a smart carpenter who builds his house on a rock. Right, Dave? There we go. Okay, I got the married couple. They gave me thumbs up today. I'm rocking it out. All right? So you want to build your house in the rock, not in the sand, where when the storms come up. And so what my job is in this series is to have you work the Word of God into your life as foundational meaning, as foundational situations. I want to tell you, the storms of life are coming. I can't stop them. If I could, I would. But you'll be able to stand if you root your life in the Word of God. So, all right, Jack, well, how can I root my life into the Word of God? Here's where we get practical. You ready? Number one, we must accept its authority. We need to ask ourselves, is it just a nice kind of collection of old books and conglomeration of in one big book? Or is it the inspired, inerrant, perfect Word of God? A lot of us won't even go there because we may not understand some of the scripture. Like, and I will tell you some things. I'm going to give you something right now. There are parts in scripture that you will not understand at all. At all. But guess what? I don't understand how a big metal plane gets up in the air and flies and hangs there, but it doesn't stop me from buying a ticket and getting on there. I also don't understand digestion, but as you can see, it doesn't stop me from eating. There are a lot of things that we do that we don't fully understand, but we just go ahead and do it. So get into the Word of God, and don't, you may not fully understand it. These are the things. These things are not understood by us in some ways because we're not God. It begins with us trusting God, not in our culture. We often, our culture, what I need to tell you is our culture changes, God does not. Look at what it says here in 1 Thessalonians. Paul says this. And he says to the church that he is very thankful to them. And he says, we also thank God continually because when you received, now the word received here in Greek means deklomai. And it actually means when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a word of men, but actually as the word of God. What this deklomai received word actually means, it means you welcomed as a stranger. You didn't know them. You didn't, if you were saying, I didn't know who you were, I didn't have a clue who you were, but I welcomed you in as a friend to show hospitality. That's what they did. They accepted the word of God as is. And then they say, it says here, which as it, which is at work in you who believe. So we need to believe, we need to trust and accept God's word as authoritative. That's number one. Number two, we must assimilate it. Everybody say assimilate. Assimilate its truth. We need to work these into the areas of our lives. Like for instance, the next series is marriage. We need to work that into our marriage, what we study. We can sit here, we can learn something week after week after week after week. We can say, okay, here we go. I'm going to learn it. And guess what? If we never apply it to our lives, then we're not doing any good. If we're only hearers of the word and not doers, we're not going to get there. So how can we apply this? One of the things we're doing, we just started Financial Peace. Why are we doing that? We're doing that because many of us aren't quite sure about the financial situation we have, and we want to take a biblical approach to our finances and see if it works. And guess what? This has proven that if we follow that and we apply those principles to our lives, that God can help us be better if we just don't overspend and do other kinds of things that the culture tells us to do, but God says don't do. All right? So we want to apply that to our lives. So how are we going to assimilate the truth? Number one, we're going to listen to God's word. We're going to listen to God's word, okay? We need to hear. Like, for instance, I've had some vast, interesting conversations with people I love very dearly. In part of this church, not part of this church, in Christianity, not within Christianity. And over the last several years, many people are saying that we are living in America in what they call the post-Christian age. And that church is an extra thing in life when there's nothing else going on. That church, when my schedule is filled with everything else and there's things that I deem more important than that, I go ahead and say, no, I'll get to church sometime, all right? And so for me, like some of you may think last week I was off, and I was, but I went to the gym with my friend, in the morning, went in the gym, and so we're in Chicago, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at the clock, and I said, oh, okay, it's 9 o'clock. In a little bit, I'll turn on the service, even though Debbie doesn't want me to. So I'll go ahead and turn it on. I'll see some worship, everything. So it's about 9:30, and I turned it on, and when I opened it on up, Debbie was already speaking, and I went, Chicago, Midwest, aha. And you know what I was able to do? I zipped back. But to let you know, before Debbie came on, I was listening to another pastor. Because you know why? It was Sunday, and there's something wrong with me. I feel off if I don't hear from the Word of God. I need to hear the Word of God, not only Sunday, but throughout the rest of the week in my life. I need it. Because in case you don't know, there's a lot of other stuff in my ears. And in your ears, that's telling me everything opposite of God. And one of the things it's telling me is to get further away from God and not care about this. And not care about who this is. So, is church on your schedule? Is church on your schedule? So, you know, sometimes you may say, well, Jack, you get paid to go to church. I was in church before I got paid. I got drug in, I think, the first Sunday I was born. I didn't have a choice. Right? My parents made me go. When I was a teenager and I didn't want to do anything, I lived next to the church. I was the last person in Sunday school. But I was there because my mom made me go. She made me wear a choir robe with my football uniform underneath. I was made to go. And guess what? I'm still going by choice. So why do we prioritize that weekly? Because here's what we see. Because Romans 10 says, so faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All other things in your life that you're hearing, you need to hear the Word of God. Luke 8 says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. How you listen. This is from the parable of the sower. All right? Should we go there? Number two, here we go. We need to be reading God's Word. Reading God's Word. It's like a meal. I like food. Food is awesome, isn't it? I guess there's just some points that food is just amazing. And you know, like if I, like sometimes when you get my mind, like I want a sub, like a real like big sub. Those of you who've been around for a while, like the ones that used to be at Schroeder's or the ones that were at Big Elk Liquors, right? You know, and you're saying, preacher's talking about liquor stores. That's where they had the best subs, just letting you know. Right? Am I right, Pete? Yeah, they were good. That's right. So, yeah, so you'd eat them and meat was pouring out and you'd eat and ah. And if you give me some little, you say, oh, I made a sub for you, and it's a bologna sandwich, I'm going to be one ticked off sucker. So if I'm asking to feast on the Word of God, and you give me something little and go, here you go, I'm going to be starved. And so we don't want to be starved for that. So that's what we need to do. Jesus says this. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. When you are hungry, you want something more than bread. How many of you after church say, you know, today I'm really starved. Let's get a loaf of bread and share it. No, right? You want something with substance on there. But we live on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So one of the things that I would say to do, I would say get a print Bible. Get a print Bible. If you don't have one, let us know. I'm going to try to get some and have them here. We'll give them to you. I don't care. If it's about giving you the Word of God, that's what we need to do. I've done that before. I've given people my Bibles. Some of you might remember I was doing a sermon about different Bibles in the Word of God over at the middle school years ago, and I had this one Bible that was a Jewish Bible that I loved. It was really cool. It was a Messianic Jewish Bible. I had it up there. I was shaking hands as I walked out of church, and the lady said, thank you. And I said, oh, I have that Bible. She goes, yeah, it was yours. Thank you. And I went, you're welcome. She took my Bible. She stole my Bible from church. Good, go for it. Guess she needs it more than me, right? It's all right. I didn't get another one. Dear. All right. So, but anyway, she took my Bible, but it's cool. All right. You're not taking this one. All right. So get a print Bible. Get a print Bible. I think it's awesome that we have all the different, apps and other kinds of things, and that's good. But I've actually done some research, and I found out that they've done like 5 or 6 studies that have shown that actually the digital we don't retain as much, and also with all the links and clicks that we will start linking and clicking before we know it, we're checking our email and doing Twitter rather than the Word of God. So, and we're worried about what we're going to post rather than chewing the cud, right? So get a print Bible because they're great. Believe me, I use them all the time. But the thing is, a digital Bible is everybody's Bible. I want you to have your Bible. Okay, and that's what a print Bible is. Second thing is, carve out a set time. Have a set time where you can get into it. Protect that time. Put it on your calendar. Say, this is my time. This is when I got to have time to get into the Word of God. You know, use some also other resources like as your plan, which is our next one. Have a plan. Get in to use the one-year Bible, which is good, which will have an Old Testament, a New Testament, a Psalm, and a Proverb, and a devotional. On some days, when you're reading all the begats or you're reading all the skin diseases in Leviticus, you're thankful for a good proverb, am I right, in the midst of all that stuff. But that'll help you get in the midst of that. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. If you read 3 to 4 chapters a day, you can get through it in a year with about 10 to 15 minutes a day. YouVersion has so many great things as well. But have that, but also have your print Bible. This is my print Bible. I have several Bibles, but this is mine. This is the one that was given to me, and some of you heard this before, to our son Jack on the occasion of his first sermon, July 21st, 1991 at Northeast United Methodist Church. It is on its second cover pretty soon. The nice duct tape here, it'll be on the next cover eventually. And so I'll have it bound. But this is my Bible. When I open up here, I have all kinds of things in here. I have... I can't read it as well, so I have to have a pair of glasses with me as well. But I have a whole thing for elders and young men. I have writings in the back from other sermons that I've had. It's my manual for life, okay? If somebody started to walk out of church with this, I will tackle you. It's my Bible, all right? It's mine. All right. So make sure you get that. I want you to have that. Set out a time and have a plan. Work on a plan. There are so many. Some people can go through all the Gospels in a year and can repeatedly go through that. There are 150 Psalms. There are 31 Proverbs. You can read one proverb a day and help you. Don't give up if you get behind and say, yeah, I've been doing the one-year Bible, and I'm on September. I got 150 chapters to read today. Pray for me. No, just stop. It'll be there next year. Okay, the Bible's not going anywhere. All right, and the last thing that I want to share with you here is this. Read the Bible and let the Bible read you. Stop and get the Holy Spirit to speak to you. The Bible is the only conglomeration or book that goes ahead and the author talks to you when you're there. The Bible is a mirror when you can look at yourself and take a verse and really see yourself in that. And the last thing today that we're going to do, how we can go ahead and assimilate this, is to explore God's Word. How do I study? How do I study? Have out a notepad. And this is where I'm a proponent of getting in contact with small groups or Bible studies with other people that you can bounce stuff off on. Some of the greatest revelations I've ever had have been from others. Psalm 119:11, it's a miracle of a verse. And this is what begins to happen when we do this, when we assimilate God's Word into us. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might sin against you. When you have God's Word, not out here, because we're told that most Americans have a Bible, but when we have God's Word in here, sin goes. If you're sick of your sin, and that's a churchy term, let me just put it, you're missing the mark of what God intended. Like sometimes there's things where you say, I really want to stop doing this. I don't like that I'm doing this. You pray to God, and yet you're praying to God, but it's still there. Maybe you need to hear from God in His Word and get into His Word and get to a place where the Word comes into your heart. Having study, reality, and application account for it. And the very last thing today that we're going to do is I must apply its principles. I need to use it every day of life. Not just put it on the shelf and grab it on Sunday and say, oh, where is it? That if you leave your Bible in church, you should be down here shaking on the door and calling people saying, I need my Bible. I need my Bible. Please get it for me. James 1 tells us this. Do not merely just listen to the word so as to deceive yourself, but do what? Do what it says. Do what it says. All right? We need to get the word in me. Anybody need the word in you? I need the word in me. So, all right, let's stand up. Get on up. Here we go. All right. Now, here's what's really cool. The Bible says, and that's an intro to the series. You see where we're going with this? The Bible says, where two or three are gathered, so is Jesus. So Jesus is here today. Jesus is here with you, with your worshiping. Now, and I just want you to ask him. We've had some really cool stuff this week. I mean, I've done the trifecta. If anybody wants to get married, go ahead and let me. I'll do everything pastors do. Baptisms, funerals, counseling, all that kind of stuff this week. And so I've experienced God in many, many different ways this week. And so what I just want you to do is just experience God for you and to say, God, I want to have your word hidden in my heart. And I want to have a love for your word. We had a guy named Naftali Cohen when we went on our tour to Israel, one of my tours to Israel. He was there. I called him Cousin Naftali. And I remember he was telling me one day, we went to where Gideon's stream was. And if you don't know where that is, go ahead and read the book of Gideon. And they were where they separated from lapping with their hands to lapping straight from the stream. And right at the stream. And I'm getting a little bit excited. And he said, I can see you're getting excited. He said, I want to let you know something. When I was a kid, I loved the Word of God. When I was a kid, I used to just sleep with my Bible. Just kept my Bible close to my heart, and I would read the Word of God. And now that I get to take people to exactly where they are and see the excitement in them, God has even grown in me all the more. And he's showing me this is where this person came, and that's the hill they came over. And I'm seeing the Word of God come alive to me. But I want to tell you, you don't have to go to Israel to have the Word of God come alive to you. You get to talk to his author, and it's the Holy Spirit, the writer, every day. Open your hearts to him. Open your minds and do those things that you need to do and let his work come alive. That's my hope and prayer in this series. And ask him where you need to be. So let's pray. Lord God, here we are. It's very interesting. As the rain and snow fall from heaven, so does your word fall and doesn't return to you void. God, we thank you for the visual outside of what you're doing in our lives here today. Spirit, do what you'd like to do to us today and draw us closer to you. We love you, Lord. In your name, amen.
I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, more than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. And Lord, as this time goes by, I will be by your side, 'cause I never want to go back to my old life. I need you more than yesterday. There is nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. can ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you more.
right. Thank you for tuning in online, being here. Be careful on your way home. Next week, we're going to unpack some of this that I threw a lot at you today. Don't worry, I'm not going to be like, take it, that's it. Next week, we're going to talk about the Word written, and we're going to talk about understanding the Word of God, okay? Understanding it, how to work with that. So look at someone next to you and go, Word. See you next week. Be safe. God bless.